Hey everyone, this is Paul Siegel, and you're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs comes to you live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and you can catch us on twitch.tv/wanderingdms or youtube.com/wanderingdms/live. And now, on with the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan, and today on Wandering DMs, we're going to be talking about time constraints in D&D and other games. Board games, and what happens when a player needs to rush out to grab a trip at the end of a gaming convention. All that and more today on Wandering DMs.
Well, due to Dan having to rush off at the end of this episode, we are condensing our episode a little bit. You'll see we're just running for 45 minutes instead of the full hour today. And there will be, unfortunately, no after-party chat. But we do encourage you, please, come and visit our Patreon. Join our Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingdms. Join our Discord server so in the future you can be involved in the after-party chat after our shows.
Yeah, we love having our patrons on our Discord server chatting about that all the time. So, Paul, we're actually in the same room today.
We are. We right. are.
We should be talking
very quickly right. as well. Is that possibly because we're under time constraint?
It might be, yes. Okay, deep breath, everybody. Deep breath. We can do this.
Okay.
We can totally do this. But we actually are on a sharp timer because, unexpectedly, I didn't plan this out so well. I actually have to get a bus back to Brooklyn. I am currently near Boston at visiting Paul's house, which we get to do once in a while. I love... Yep. Visiting here. You're such a good host.
Well, thank you.
You have such a great circle of friends around here.
I mean, as longtime viewers of the show probably know, my birthday actually was yesterday, and it overlaps the 4th of July weekend. And I usually invite you and Max and Christian up to come and hang out and play some games. And we've live streamed that in the past. You know, we've had a couple of those, I think. Right? We played...
Absolutely.
What did we play? We played some... not just the birthday game, right? Regular birthday live stream game.
But I think Fiasco.
We Fiasco, right? And we also did a Cheat Your Own Adventure, I think, once.
Yes,
yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Great.
Right.
So we're going to do that again this time, right? We're going to play a little game.
I really feel compelled to always have a live stream game on your birthday, July 4th weekend. So yes, we're totally going to do that. What game have we prepared today, Paul?
So again, we're under extreme time constraint.
We are.
So we got to keep it short and quick. So we're going to play 5-Minute Dungeon. Do we have the box here? I think we do. 5-Minute Dungeon. We'll be playing that. We've played this a couple of times over the course of the years. I cannot... Thank you so much for the birthday wishes. Thanks, everyone. And the funny thing is, this year, actually, we finally beat it for the first time.
We did.
Yeah.
Sort of. We're a little generous with the rules.
Yeah.
You're supposed to reboot, or you're supposed to go back to life. Okay, so I'm obsessed with 5-Minute Dungeon, right? And Paul has it, so for like about 3 years, every time I come up, like, can we try 5-Minute Dungeon? Because we haven't beat it. We got to beat 5-Minute Dungeon, God. It has 5 dungeon levels, basically, right? That take 5 minutes each. Love it to death. It's a fast-playing card game. It is cooperative. There's no turns, so we're working yep. at the same time, basically, so it's kind of fast and furious. The rules technically say if you lose a particular level, you have to go back to level 1.
Yep.
In good traditional D&D style. I highly respect that. So admittedly, when we were playing on Thursday, we were giving ourselves the opportunity to go back to town
yep.
and retry a level,
yep.
right? And not go all the way back to level 1. So, yep. I mean, I think that's a reasonable tiny adjustment.
Okay.
And we did actually manage to beat it for the first time playing it that way, yes.
All right, shall I switch to the table here and show everyone what we're looking at?
Sure.
Okay, so we've got the game out here. It's called 5-Minute Dungeon because there's literally 5 minutes. You have a timer. You have exactly 5 mm-hmm. minutes to play, which I've got an app here. That's the official app that comes, that's part of the game, that plays a little audio track and gives us a time countdown. And then you have each player has one of 5 characters, which is a little card here. I'm playing the wizard.
I almost always play the barbarian.
The cards are double-sided. There's a variant, and there's a sorceress here on the other side of mine. Yep. And each one has a different special ability. So you get to choose which one. And then each one has its own custom deck of cards also.
Yes.
Now, this is a little different here because we're playing two-player, The game actually encourages us to take both the deck of cards that goes with your character and a second deck and mix them together. So I'm actually playing a multi-class Wizard Thief.
Okay, and I'm playing a multi-class Barbarian Paladin.
Nice. Paladin?
Barbarian Weird. Paladin. Weird.
Okay, yep.
Don't look at me.
Great.
don't scowl at me. I can do what I want.
Awesome. So basically the way the game goes is we have a hand of cards. The cards have five different symbols on them. We flip over one of the challenge cards here. It shows the symbols we need to match, and we just chuck cards into play. And Correct. Then when they match, we sweep it off the table and we do the next one. And the goal is to get through the entire deck
right
in the 5 minutes.
Correct. And we've picked, there are five dungeon levels, which means there's five boss monsters at the end, which are the identifier for the level. So here we've picked the middle one. We picked boss number three here, which is of middle difficulty. I would say when you start off, even the first one's hard.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to win the first one the first time you try. Probably so not. There is a skill element. And one of the things I love about this is just within an hour or so of play, you can see all the players as a team working better together, which is one of the things that I really love about a game like this.
So, Dan, what's your character special ability?
My barbarian special ability is Slay, in which I can discard three cards from my hand to defeat any monster.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. As the wizard, I have the ability to stop time.
Oh wow, that's funky.
I can discard three cards to pause the timer,
okay,
making it not really a 5 minute game at all.
Still 5 minutes on the clock.
Still 5 minutes
right,
on the clock.
Still 5 minutes on the clock.
Yep. And then the timer will we must restart the timer the moment someone plays a card. Now, interestingly, we did look this up in the rules. You can use your special abilities while time is stopped.
Got it.
So I don't know that matters super much here, because if you slay something, obviously then timer's going to restart, because that involves playing cards, right?
No, I don't. I'm discarding.
You're not discarding.
Yeah. I'm discarding. I'm using ability.
Okay, and that gets rid of the challenge, and we get to look at the next challenge and take our time?
Interesting.
Okay, sure.
Yeah?
Great.
I think so.
Okay, how many cards do we draw, Dan?
That's a good question. Probably
five? I wonder if it's different for this number of players.
So two nights ago, when we did beat it, we were playing with four people, at which point you only had a hand of three cards. So when you use one of your special abilities, you had to discard your entire hand. Today here, we're going to have an option. And again, part of it is like on the fly, you have to make clever decisions about what do you have available versus what are you possibly going to discard. Oh, I have the rules.
I was going to say, I'm sitting here taking care of the box.
I specifically put it over here so that if the rules are necessary, I have them conveniently here. I'm so sorry, Paul. I'm so sorry. Oh, man. The things that I made Paul do, like just today for this stream, I feel so bad about. Five cards.
Five cards. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to draw my hand.
Oh, God.
Now, viewers, if you're cheating here and looking at my hand, stop that. You'll see. You know, mostly they're just one of the symbols. There are some special cards. There are some cards that are worth two of a symbol, stuff like that. But we should just get going, Dan, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Ready? All right. I'm going to start this.
I got all my special abilities all at once here.
We get a little intro here. A little intro before it starts.
Hello, hero. Are you ready to embark on an epic quest?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's get started.
Okay. Great. All right, it's a barbarian
shield.
Here's the other sword.
And then you redraw when you play cards, obviously.
Okay, and that just sweeps away.
Right,
great. Oh, it's an obstacle. Quicksand. Here's two runners. Here's a shield. Not called runner. It's called jump. I'm gonna get that right.
There's one sword. Oops, sorry.
Here's another sword.
Good job.
Great. Go. Why are all these cards upside down? That's annoying. Here's a scroll. We need another scroll and a sword. Here's
in rage, we both draw three cards.
And here's a sword.
One, two, three.
One, two,
there's more swords.
Three. We don't need more swords. We need more scrolls, Dan. Scroll.
Okay, then I wasted the card. I wasted the card. If I do this too fast, right, I screwed myself.
I need a sword. I got a sword. What is this?
You
is
need
an
a
obstacle?
Sword.
I got none. Okay, I'm gonna...
I have a hand grenade. I can pause time.
Yeah,
pausing time. Okay, so I have a card that says Divine Shield. I'm only going to have like two of these, I think. This comes from the Paladin deck. Pause time until we play a card. We all draw one card. Okay. Hopefully a sword. I have a sword.
Okay, great, because I got no swords at all here.
Any other plans we want to make?
No, I have just FYI in the future. Yeah. I have Backstab to defeat a person and
great.
Fireball to defeat a monster.
Okay.
No obstacle. See, you notice each card is a different type. This one's an obstacle.
Right. Monster, person, obstacle. All right. Mini boss.
All right, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go for it.
Bam.
There we go.
Sweep it.
Okay. What is that? That's a person. I'm going to backstab him.
Great.
I got it. Okay. Great. That's a monster. I'm going to fireball.
Oh, thank you. You want to communicate, right? Yeah. You want to communicate with your team?
This is an obstacle. I got to jump.
I got this.
Okay, great. Oh, here we have a mini boss. Here's three arrows.
There's two shields and another shield. I got it. Bam.
Great, great.
Good job.
Well done.
Mini bosses are usually pretty tough. We get stuck.
Here's an obstacle.
I have three scrolls here.
To do it, because yeah, I have none. Bam. Okay.
The paladin has some scrolls, right?
I got a jump. I got a shield. We just need another shield.
I got.
There's another shield.
Okay, good for you. Whew. I got a whole bunch of jumps right now.
I got.
I have most of that.
That. Something is beeping in the house.
Oh, man.
That's real bad.
Okay.
Okay, folks.
All right.
Oh, this is very unexpected.
That's unfortunate. So, Paul's going to check
We might be on fire.
Okay, I hope not. All right, so among the issues that sometimes come up when you have time constraints or possibly you're playing live is there might actually be household distractions or issues that possibly take priority to your actual play. So, you know, you might consider, you know, once in a while you'll have possibly a player get sick at the table or something like that. And obviously, and this is actually something I could possibly make a big mistake on myself, is certainly you need to, you know, pause the time that you have available and deal with the possibly ill player or something like that, or someone gets a call from a family member that they need to take care of immediately. And then the question is, when you do get back to the game, do you, like if you're playing a role-playing game or something like that, do you possibly adjust the content to fit the remaining time for the problem that possibly came up? And making wise decisions about that is the sign, I would say, of a really top-level game master. Are we okay, Paul?
I think so.
Okay.
There's definitely this fire alarm that's going off. Yeah. Telling me there was a fire. I didn't see one.
Okay.
sorry, everyone. That's that's live stream for you, I guess. I sure hope the house is not on fire. Yeah, I took the batteries out of the fire alarm like that's the solution I came up with.
Now, to be clear, we are serious. As soon as this 45-minute timer goes off, my travel bag is actually literally right here, and his car, Paul's garage, is right over here, actually.
Yeah.
So we're gonna walk out, get in the car, and drive. Are you comfortable driving away when we get off?
Yeah.
This? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
You know, live viewers of the live stream, you know, if you see us overcome by fumes, please call 911 for us.
I think viewers. Viewers of Dan's old... Can I put a pitch in here? So viewers of Dan's old-time mini show, which will be back this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, are accustomed to being ready with the 911 call. And I will say, I will be back in my kitchen this Thursday casting molten lead miniatures for science fiction worms this Thursday. So if you have 911 on speed dial, be ready right now. And then we'll be back on Thursday.
All right. Shall we finish our game?
Yes.
Then?
Yes.
Okay. I hope we're not overcome by smoke.
I hope not. We have 3 minutes left. Sorry
okay.
about that, everybody.
Okay. All right. This is the longest game of 5 minutes. All right. Ready? I'm gonna start the timer.
Yeah, we need another shield.
Well, I'm gonna just backstab this
guy.
Okay.
Do it.
Thank you so much. Backstab. There he's dead.
Thank you.
Okay.
I got a runner.
I got two scrolls.
Great.
There you go. Still called Jump Nut Run. Okay, all players must discard a card.
Discard a card.
Okay, sure. Another event. All players pass your hand to another player.
Oh, I hate this because now you need to parse the special abilities.
Oh, man.
That you've never seen before. Okay, so I can fireball a monster now.
Okay, well, here's the next thing. It's a person.
I got a sword. I got all of it, actually.
Okay, great. That's perfect. This one needs a shield and jump. Okay, fine, great. I got a jump, I got an arrow.
There's a shield.
Great.
Sweep it.
That needs a scroll and two
jumps. I have two runners and I have a scroll.
Okay, great.
I have all of it.
Go for it.
This and this. Right? Notice some of the cards have like two symbols.
All
on
players
it.
Discard your hand. That stinks.
I had the whole. I, oh, you
yeah,
had a hand grenade.
I had a hand grenade
point.
Too. Yep. It's all
That's
gone.
The best
it's
card. There's only one of that. There's a card that just destroys anything. There's only one in the game. Which
is a shield. Here's a jump. Here's a scroll. I got
for
it.
You. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so remember, I control
more
monster.
Cards.
I have
oh
all
my gosh,
that.
I have all
that.
Okay, great. Three jumps. I have all swords, Dan.
I have
staring
two
at
runners.
All swords.
I need another runner.
I can buy a magic bomb. Do it. Magic bomb. That counts as one of everything.
Thank you.
There's.
I have all of it.
Cool.
Bam, bam.
Again, I'm sitting on almost all swords for some reason. Here, a sword. And here's a jump.
Here's an arrow.
Great. Why? I
have none of that.
Here's a second jump.
Thank
you. Oh boy, that was lucky. I get sword.
I have none of that.
Okay, I'm gonna pause. I'm discarding three cards to pause time. Mostly to get rid of all the stupid swords in my hand. Okay. Great. I have a jump.
I have no jump.
I got a jump.
I have a heal card, so if you want your discard pile back at some point, tell me.
It's all swords. I don't want the whole discard pile?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
On top of their draw pile.
That's interesting. Well, to get me the hand grenade back and the enrage card, which wouldn't be terrible.
You want me to do that right now?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. We'll do it at the same time.
Go for it. Yep.
Are you putting
that on? All right. Yeah, go.
Ready? Go. Okay, so put your whole discard pile back.
On the draw top, pile. And then I'm going to draw. There we go. And then here's that. I need
none of that. I'm totally stuck right now.
There's another one. Oh, gosh, there's the grenade. I guess I use the grenade?
That's all we got.
Card?
That's
all
we
defeat
got.
The grenade. Yeah. Okay, there you go. I got to defeat an obstacle, I think.
Okay, we
sprint.
Need a runner.
I just defeat
great.
An obstacle.
Thank you.
Another obstacle that needs two jumps, and
I have none of that.
Dan, I'm gonna play Enrage. Choose two players to draw three cards each.
One, two, three. I got
a jump.
I got one jump.
Okay.
I'm actually stuck.
Me
I'm
too.
Totally
me
stuck.
Me too. Okay. Nope. I'm gonna pause time.
Right.
And that lets me draw back up. Here's sprint to defeat an obstacle.
Great.
Okay.
All those jumpers.
Okay. Here's
I have two scrolls.
Two scrolls.
Okay,
too late.
Two scrolls. Good job.
30 seconds left. 30 seconds left, Dan. Oh, jeez. There's a jump.
I'm going to slay it. I'm going
to... Do it. Just do it.
Shit. I'm trying to slay it. I should have discarded that. All right.
That's the last thing we got to do.
Okay, there's two shields. There's two swords. There's three shields. I got all the shields. There's another sword.
Here's
we need jumpers.
Another shield.
We're all good with that. We
need
jumpers.
There's a jump. There's a bomb. That's one of everything.
Draw three cards from your discard pile. One,
from my
two,
discard?
Three.
That doesn't help me. Yeah. I need a jump. I got nothing.
I got no jumps.
Nothing. We're done. We lost.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so
we failed.
We were close. Yeah, we were close, right? So we got to the boss, and we covered all the shields and all the swords. But we didn't have that. We were down two jumpers. We're down one jump. We're down one card.
One card.
We're only down one card.
Missed it by one, Dan.
Damn it.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yep.
Damn it.
Oh, well. Such is the way of things. Well, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Did we make a mistake? Game is hard.
The fire doesn't help when the fire alarm goes off.
It just takes your mind out of the game.
It's not the best.
Yeah.
It's not the best.
Okay. So normally I would say try it again. We'd have to reset, right?
We're not doing that because we've got a lot to talk about. And
we do.
Exactly.
You're right.
26 minutes and 6 seconds left.
So I'm not going to get closure again. We're going to go on with the discussion, but I will point out that once again, I'm not getting closure in 5-minute dungeon, and I'm going to be waiting until the next time I come to pause to finish this game. Are we back? Our faces are back on screen, right?
Yeah. Just letting you have your little tantrum there while I sort some cards here.
So it's a game that gets in your craw, right? It's literally only 5 minutes normally to play through a dungeon level. It does sit between two and four players. Five. You can take five, right?
You can play five.
Yeah, between two and five players. There's five total hero cards and five total decks to play out. And It's a really well-designed game, I think.
It is very good. Yeah, now, we have a couple of other board games that are basically co-op plus time crunch. I feel like that's a common thing you see in co-op games. Maybe not super common, but it is a good way to add tension and difficulty to a co-op game, is to add a time component.
Yes.
Right, so other games, I got Space Alert here. That's also got a time component to it.
Yeah.
It's much more complicated. I love this game. I've played it a whole bunch. It is really difficult. And the funny thing is, I think the time component, like one of the downsides of the time component in a game is that it makes the game very tense, right? It's an anxiety producing component. So I bring this up because there was, Space Alert has a whole lot of extra rules in it. Right? And the way it introduces you to the game, it says, we'll start with this small set of rules and then add these elements and add these elements to get to the full game. Well, I never got to the full game.
Yeah.
I never got there.
I feel that.
And at one point, I was playing with some coworkers over lunch, and we were just using our lunch break to play the game.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's time constraints, so, plenty of time to play a game or two. And our goal was to, train ourselves to get good at it so we could get to the point where we played it up with all the components.
Yeah.
And we just never got there because the players burnt out. They were just like, too stressful. I can't handle this. I need more relaxation during lunch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can't deal with it. So never got there.
Generally speaking, it's funny because I see what you're saying there. So generally speaking, for me, like an increase in tension in a game is a good thing. is like a feature. And for me, it makes it memorable. It makes me more motivated to beat the challenge. But I do feel this bit about a game that is so sophisticated, I'll say, that you never actually get to play the full game. Because I have Avalon Hill's Bismarck from, I think, 1977, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I almost brought it this weekend. I actually considered bringing it this weekend, but it's the exact same thing. There's a basic set of rules, there's intermediate, and there's advanced. And never in my entire life have I gotten anybody to queue up for the advanced. Nor should they, actually. Really, my recommendation is if I ever ask you to play Bismarck with the advanced session, you really shouldn't do that. I actually have played a game solo, but it is bonkers complicated. Like every particular inch of plate armor on every ship in the Atlantic in World War II, on every separate part is tracked and taken account for. So it would take an extremely long amount of time that I think gamers nowadays probably don't want to spend.
Yep.
Because you have time constraints, Paul.
Time constraints. Because time constraints, real world time constraints.
You have real world time constraints.
Yeah.
Let me just say a little bit more, a couple more words about 5-Minute Dungeon.
Yeah.
It's well designed and it is clever. It's cleverly published, I guess I'll say. The name is great. 5-Minute Dungeon. You know what it is. You're adventuring in a dungeon. It's going to take 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
It literally says what it's on the tin. And it's great for inviting people that, like in your situation there, you need to get other players. It's great for inviting people to the table. It's like, well, it's only going to take 5 minutes to try it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep,
you just try a 5-minute session and decide whether you like it or not. And we found it's really great for inviting people in that normally might be a little bit trepidatious about trying a new game.
Yeah, and then either the bug will hit and you'll keep playing, or you'll play around and they'll be like, "Yeah, this game's not for me," and you can move on, play something else.
I haven't seen anybody do that.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody put it down and stop once we get started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a clever game, I think.
There you go.
What else were we going to play this week? So we were right on the cusp of playing this, right? So we didn't play this, but you were telling me about
Escape,
this.
Curse of the Temple, also a co-op, time-limited game. Also uses an audio track to implement the time limit. It's dice rolling, so each player is moving. You're moving around a temple. The idea is the temple's collapsing around you. You're all trying to escape, and you potentially have to help each other. So you're moving tokens around the room, and you're rolling dice. And it's this constant, like, just re-roll, 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 spend the resources, resources, kind of frenetic gameplay. But possibly you need more resources than you could possibly produce with your dice. So you need to join up with another player. Hey, come into this room, help me find the exit, that kind of thing. It's good. I would say not as tight as 5-Minute Dungeon, right? It's a little slightly, the rules are a little bit more to wrap your brain around. And it's also easy to just go off in your own direction, right? If you and I were both playing two-player, I could go to left and you could go right, and we could end up just in our own little worlds.
Right. Does that happen a lot?
It does happen.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not a good idea because you can get trapped, and the only way to escape is with someone's help. So
it's as true today as when it was first written. Don't split the party.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry. It's a decent game. I haven't played it a lot. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
You know, something like 5-minute dungeon is more likely. You know, somebody was telling me at the party last night that there's another print of 5-minute dungeon that is got the Marvel IP.
Oh really?
So they Marvel.
Oh really?
Marvelized this game. I thought that might appeal to you.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
which characters you get to play as. I'm curious.
There's probably. Well, there better be Thor and Hulk. I'll say that.
Better be
there Thor. Better be Thor and Hulk or Dan Smash.
All right, Dan. We have
really
a little under 20 minutes left on
okay.
the show.
Okay.
I think maybe we ought to talk about time constraints in D&D.
We probably should, considering we put that on the label of the show. And I think that the name of our channel is Wandering DMs, right? And the classic, right, there is classic D&D out of the box 50 years ago has a built-in time constraint to when you're adventuring, and that is the wandering monsters. Mm-hmm. It is a key, commonly overlooked part of the original design of D&D. And over the years, we know that plenty of people have said it doesn't make sense or it's not part of the story to have these random elements, but it is the time constraint. Mm-hmm. Is the more time you spend in the dungeon, and the more events that the slower that you go, the more wandering monster you checks that you confront that are going to sap the resources of your party in the dungeon. And nowadays, when people say, or maybe this is more of a third edition thing, there's a problem of a party going into a dungeon, just taking one encounter, right? Going away, getting all their spells and resources back. That's specifically a result of taking wandering monsters off the table. Because the further you go into the dungeon, by necessity, you're going to have to confront these additional threats that are popping up all the time. So that is certainly a part of original D&D.
Now, interestingly, right, I think the way it's written, it doesn't... I'm not sure if it's specifically game time or if it's just
originally
not clear.
It's absolutely game time. So every 10 minutes in-game, every turn,
right?
It uses the word turn. That's clearly an in-game... term of art.
Right. So that adds a time pressure, but not a real time pressure. Now, I know you have played the games where you use actual wall clock.
This watch right here that I'm keeping an eye on right at the moment, I actually put on the table by the side of my DM screen, and I personally nowadays time the wandering monsters to 15 minutes of real time. And I tell the players that. I say, when you're in the dungeon, I'm going to be looking at this clock, and every 15 minutes, I'm going to roll a die in public. And if it comes up a one, wandering monsters show up. And again, that adds a lot of tension. Yep. That adds a lot of, maybe I'll say drama, is that when I say that, boy, they really don't want a one to come up. They're really invested in that moment.
Yep.
And I like putting it on, and this is kind of novel, but I like putting it on a real clock because then it at least educates the player that the players that as a team, random chit-chat's going to kind of not be great for them.
Yep. I like the idea. I like the concept. The problem I have with it is like, as DM, it's one more thing for me to track, and I frequently miss it.
Yeah.
Right? So, maybe I get into something else, I'm adjudicating a rule. I mean, frankly, that's, often as DM, you're kind of overloaded, right? I'm trying to do this, someone asked me a question, let me answer that question, let me get back to this thing, right?
Yep.
And I'm trying to juggle a whole lot of stuff.
But
also remember to, occasionally look at the clock and remember, right now I might do something where I'll actually set a real timer. And I've done things where an hourglass on the table or, just something that's going to chirp at me every 15 minutes is interesting. I wanted to bring up...
And I've missed it also, right? I'm not going to say I'm 100%. I've missed it. But generally, if I've got the watch near my dice, I go reach for a dice and I go, oh, right.
Yeah.
We're at this point on the clock.
Interesting. I wanted to bring up the module Death Frost Doom, which is for Lamentations of the Flame Princess, but it works with any classic D&D. Specifically, if anyone's played this, spoilers for Death Frost Doom, but specifically, if anyone's played this, one of the first things, as soon as they enter the dungeon proper, now there's a little bit with a building on the surface before you get into the dungeon proper, but there's this thing of these ice skulls, right? So you enter this room, there's all these ice skulls hanging or, in the room, and occasionally one will drop and crash to the ground. And the rules actually tell us, every 10 minutes after the doors first open, one of these skulls falls to the floor and shatters, clockwise. Other than unnerving the players, this times how long it's been since the cursed frost mortaring the crypts has started melting. For each skull that falls, i.e. every 10 minutes since the west door has been opened, it will take the dead one less minute to reanimate. And then it gets on. So there's real mechanics here. And from what I've... Now, it's not clear, is that 10 minutes of game time or 10 minutes of real time, but every time I've run it, I've definitely... Once that door is open, I set a recurring 10-minute timer that makes a noise. And if you're really clever, you get something that sounds like a crash or a thud or something. And you go, another skull fell, right?
Nice. Oh, that's great.
So that's you get a time element there in Death Frost Doom. And there was also one in the game that we actually played yesterday. We played a D&D adventure yesterday, and I'm already forgetting the name of it, unfortunately. It was a one-page dungeon. Rats, can't remember it. But anyway, it was a multi-layer temple that you're in, and they talk, there's rumors as you approach it of like how the land has been hit with tremors. And then it mentions once you get into this room with all these cracks in the floor that every 10 minutes, every 10 to 15 minutes, it says there will be a tremor. And then there's a 10% chance that a crack opens that someone falls through.
Got it.
So it's kind of neat, right? Cause it's kind of like, it's like a twist on the pit trap, right? It's like a twist on the classic pit trap because it's time-based, and it's not consistent where it's located. Right? It's anywhere in this room.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so...
There was a safe spot.
There was
a safe spot that, again, is an inversion because it looks like a dangerous, like, summoning portal on the floor, but that's actually the safe spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I think was just something I interpreted. I don't think the dungeon actually says anything about that being safe.
Great.
Yeah. But I liked it. Again, in that case, I just had my phone and I set a 10-minute timer anytime you were in the room. Here, give me a 10-minute timer and I'll make... I liked, too, honestly, this is maybe just silly and just about my own psychology, but I liked that it was variable. I liked that it was 10 to 15 minutes. I felt like I was off the hook for having to necessarily always get it exactly right. It's a little more than 10 minutes. Okay. That's fine. 10 to 15, it says. That's fine.
Okay. You don't want too much tension in your game.
I just like the fluidity of like that permission that I don't have to be exactly precise at every 10 minutes this happens, right?
And look, admittedly, if you do have something on a timer, right, there is a flow of time in your game that things speed up when you're in exploring mode, and then things are kind of technically slower when you're in combat melee mode, right?
Yep.
So it certainly makes sense that we're exchanging a couple blows, maybe possibly that takes 20 minutes to run out of a combat. That couldn't have actually been 15 minutes or like two tremors in that game.
I mean, one of the fun things for me as DM during that session, when you first encountered it, you were in the middle of a battle. You were like chasing some monsters. You got into a fight with them. So I drew it out on the battle mat, right? I had everything set up, and so I could tell just by looking at the battle mat who was standing on the safe space or who was not.
Right.
And actually, I'm watching the clock, and I'm kind of curious. I'm like, let's see. Because, you know, you're right. Like, the actual time it takes people to roll their dice or take their turn is variable, right? So I'm watching them going, are they going to kill these monsters before the timer runs out? And you did. But then the party started discussing what to do. And the miniatures are still in place. And I'm like, all right. When the timer goes off, I'll just look at the board.
Yeah.
And I hope that created the right kind of tension that maybe the players then became aware of, like, oh, there's danger here, and like maybe I should pay attention to where I left my mini.
I think that's great. So one of the interactions that you may not have been totally aware of, because I discussed it with another player afterwards in detail. So one of our good friends was playing Ricklin the Dwarf, and was trying his very best to run a competent dungeon expedition as leader, right? And I give all full respect to someone that tries to do this. So he's armored up his dwarf. He's taking the lead danger position, right? Trying to protect the rest of the party, trying to organize the party in a reasonable marching order. For what it's worth, I'm playing an elven fighter wizard, which is the only other fighter in the team. So I don't know if you noticed this, but we took front and back.
Okay.
And the two of us were kind of trying to shepherd... shepherd the rest of the party into a reasonable working facsimile of an adventuring party. And Ricklin's player was specifically trying to move the action forward at kind of a fast pace because of awareness of these kinds of time constraints like wandering monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we screwed up. pretty badly a couple times. We had one combat. We took quite a bit of damage, and then Ricklin's player, as soon as we were done, and I failed at getting in there and saying, here's another option. But Ricklin's player immediately said, I kick down the next door. There's kind of an empty hallway. I kick down the next door, and then enormous fire trap that blew us all up.
My favorite part about that is it's a set of double doors, which are ornate.
Yeah.
And have a scroll literally taped or glued to the seam of the double doors. So when you open the doors, the scroll will rip, and that causes the fireball to go off. I had in my head a very specific description of that door I was prepared to give.
Yeah,
I see. And he says, I run over and I rip and I pull open the doors. And I gave him a moment. And I said, okay, so you just grab the rings and pull without even looking. He's like, yep. And I go, okay, great. The paper that was stuck there tears in half and a huge fireball explodes. Yeah. And I just love that, like, it. Anyone who had bothered to ask about, like, well, what does the door look like, would have immediately given that description. And, like, I'm sure that would have made you incredibly nervous. Oh, it's an ornate metal door sculpted to look like pages of a book, and there's an actual piece of paper pasted over the seam.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that would have made the players very nervous. I was like, all right, if you're not...
So as soon as it happened, it obviously occurred to me, okay, yeah, our process should have been use the healing that we have available after the one combat, because people were way down in hit points. And then we actually had three thieves at the table, or anybody else, frankly, should have been searching the doors for traps. So after we had a little conversation, and we had another error after that we made. So we had a little conversation afterwards, and he was asking, so, you know, with the classic wandering monsters happening, aren't you incented to go forward more quickly? And I said, absolutely, that's my understanding. And he said, including if you search a door, that you're going to pay for it with a wandering monster. And I didn't get into it, but that's actually why I go to a clock, is that assuming that you can verbally play out that kind of action efficiently, go search the door, nothing there. I go through, bam. That didn't take very much of your 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to have a party collective conversation about whether you should be searching the door, then that itself actually might trigger the wandering monster check.
It's really interesting, because I remember playing multiple times with Frank Menser and Tim Kask at TotalCon when they both used to come to that. And they would tell of, and they would encourage even the players to do this, of a practice of sopping the door. They would say, like, what would come up with is this sop or standard operating procedure. And they would lay it out at the beginning of the game and say, here's our standing operating procedure. This character looks for traps. This character listens at the door. This character does this, that, the other. Then this character opens them. That's our standing operating procedure. We go, great. And then later in the dungeon, you just say, we sop the door.
It's interesting because, again, and like a lot like 5-Minute Dungeon, right? It is cooperative, right? It is it is team based, and that is where D&D, you know, the dungeon crawl initially starts. Of it's a team based puzzle challenge, basically, and everybody needs to be on board with that.
Yep.
And so nowadays, I do think that I might suspect that you're more likely to have players, you know, maybe from an improv background or something like that, players that want to be a highlight, right? They want to do something, right? They want to be a highlight, and they want to be, you know, they want to have a special moment kind of all the time, right? And it's certain groups, it can be challenging to get them on the team basis in this situation, we're going to kind of repeat some actions. And we're going to have the thieves be doing something in that moment, in that instant. And other people are just going to have to be quiet for a little while. So sometimes that's good D&D play of just be patient and quiet occasionally. And not, you know, not everybody has that refined in their toolkit. And I don't know if that's evolved over time. But certainly if you come from other games, like if you come from Fiasco, right? If you're accustomed to playing Fiasco, and your play is fundamentally, how much can my character screw things up right now? Is actually what you're trying to do. That's actually deadly to everybody in a D&D game, and maybe that's a hard transition to make.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, I think the mechanics of the game, though, encourage or discourage that, right? Like you're talking about, like, that want for the spotlight. Right? Yeah. I think later editions, because they give the characters so many things, right? You just can't keep all the things that any character can do in your head. And so it encourages that spotlight-seeking behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas older editions, like, yeah, I'm a fighter. I fight things. Like, right? And maybe you need to know... Like, I guess you could get into the nitty-gritty of my magic user is 7th level and has all these spells. But really, you just need to know my magic user is the type who carries a lot of combat spells. Or my magic user has a lot of, you know, these kind of utility spells or whatever.
Yeah.
And be aware of what's available.
I don't mention it a lot, but I have a list of life rules for in real life. And it came up the other day. I don't know if you heard it when we mentioned it. So one of my life rules is do not get injured in the eco challenge. And the eco challenge is a multi-day survival race. And inevitably, if you ever get injured, if you ever get the tiniest little bit of injury, that's going to fester, and a day later, you're going to have to drop out of the race. So even though you're under a time constraint, right, the point is, even though you're in a race situation under a time constraint, don't let that rush you into an injury. And that's exactly the mistake that we made yesterday.
Yep. And we're just about out of time. Do you have any last final thoughts on time constraints in D&D or other games?
If we're talking about D&D, you know, a lot of classic tournament modules, right, are on the clock, specific real-life clock, which is interesting. So I do think it works great in that kind of thing, works great in a tournament situation. It works quite well in maybe a one-off con situation like Death Frost Doom works really well. I wouldn't want to do it all the time in a D&D campaign. Mm-hmm. Right, I would want to rely on it. I don't want every single session to be there's a timer, and at midnight the evil cultists are going to bring the demon forward. Right, I don't want that to be every session. That's going to get kind of silly. And I would want to use a stock mechanic in D&D. And wandering monsters is a great mechanic for that.
I feel like there's a little contradiction there in what you're saying there. If you don't want it all the time, but you do want it for a stock mechanic. Right, I like it in these flavorful moments like Death Frost Doom or the adventure we were playing where, like, there's a specific room and a specific mechanic and that is tied to a clock. Enjoy that. It's different. Feels like there's a little flavor in that adventure.
That's good. I mean, it worked. And I totally agree that a specific, at this time, you're all dead, works great once in a while. Don't do it all the time.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Viewers, if you are aware of other D&D modules that include a time mechanic or other board games that include a time mechanic that we haven't covered here, please leave us a comment in the YouTube video description here. Let us know. We'd love to hear about it. I'd love to try those games, and maybe it'll inform a new conversation down the road.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that. And, of course, don't forget that we, the Wandering DMs, are on social media like Facebook and Twitter and GitHub and a bunch of Twitch and a bunch of other things. So please look for us on those sites. You'll get updates on upcoming shows. We are the Wandering DM. So please rush that like button.
If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only podcast format, you can find those podcasts on our website at wanderingdms.com. We're also on various podcast carriers like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. If you're listening to us on one of those sites right now and the site gives you the opportunity to do so, please rate and review our show. That helps other viewers or other listeners find our show, and we really appreciate it.
We really, really do. And don't forget, we couldn't do what we do here without our amazing, generous, very tasteful, very smart patrons. And if you're in a position to join them, please go to patreon.com/wanderingdms. You'll see our different tiers. Every single tier, Paul, every single tier gets you access to our private Discord server. And the conversations are going on 24/7 about all this stuff. D&D and horror games and board games and miniatures and stuff like that. And we would love to see you on our Discord server participating in those conversations.
Yeah, and access to that Discord server gets you access to the after party chat, which, again, I'm sorry, will not happen this time because Dan's got to go get on a bus. But normally, come to the Discord right after the show. We host a video chat with all of our patrons, and any tier will get you access to that. So please visit us, patreon.com/wanderingdms. I'm a patron, and join us next week on the After Party Chat.
Yes, we'll look forward to that. And, of course, upcoming shows on the channel, I will be back this Thursday for more of Dan's All-Time Mini Show, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. And I will be back in the kitchen again. I'll be casting miniatures in molten lead. So, please, I need some people viewing to give me assistance or see if I injure myself and call 911. So I will appreciate that. If I'll be trying to take my time on Thursday a little bit so I don't get injured. Do not get injured in the Eco Challenge. It's so fundamental, Paul.
Yep.
So, hope you'll tune in again next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.